May it please Almighty God to bless us together this evening. Let us turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 6, and we'll read verse 2. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and chapter 6, and we'll read verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succoured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. These are words which are repeated really from the prophecy of Isaiah, where the prophet says in the 49th chapter of Isaiah and the 8th verse, he says this: Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. So the first part of this verse is very similar to that which we read in the second verse of the sixth chapter of the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. And it's just helpful really that in the verse that we've read, we're told, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succoured thee. And in the verse in Isaiah, it says, have I helped thee? So we can conclude that this word succoured really means to help. And perhaps in the day and age in which we live, it's a helpful position to know that we have a God who does indeed help us. And it's a good for us to realize that God has helped us. Now the chapter that we read together in Exodus, chapter 15, of course, was Moses recounting the Lord's mercies to Israel and bringing them safely out of Egypt and safely across the Red Sea, and how all their enemy, all the Egyptians, were destroyed in the Red Sea. None escaped. It was a wonderful deliverance, and it was not surprising at all, was it, that Moses should therefore come and desire truly to sing that song. It is indeed a wonderful statement. And especially as we think of the blessings which the Lord granted to Israel, unworthy as they were of the least of them. And in the second verse of that 15th chapter, we read, the Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Well, it will be a favour and a wonderful blessing for all of us if we come to that realisation that the Lord indeed is our strength, and indeed the Lord is our salvation. You know, until the Lord comes and touches our heart and shows us the condition and the situation which we're in by nature, we don't realize that we need any salvation. We're happy really to continue with our life. Perhaps we may be aware of scriptures which direct us to salvation, but it doesn't really touch our hearts until the time when the Holy Spirit brings us into a time, excuse me, a time of spiritual need. Now we have the example, of course, in the case of Israel and the Egyptians, where they had a very great need naturally. And therefore we have a natural picture set before us, which directs us to the spiritual picture of the soul travelling through life. And of course it is, I often think, so very significant that there was Israel being brought into Egypt in quite a wonderful day, in the day of Joseph, and his father and all the family came down into Egypt, and they were therefore delivered from that extreme famine which existed, and there they lived in the good of the land of Egypt. And that situation continued for some 400 years. But over those years, things became not so beneficial, not so profitable, not so comfortable. And they found themselves in that situation then, where they were really being worked very hard by the taskmasters. And their life was really labour from morning till night. There wasn't room really for any rest, and they struggled on day by day. But then they cried unto the Lord. No doubt in their prayers, they cried that he would have mercy upon them. And the Lord heard their cries. And as we know, he sent Moses to graciously and gloriously deliver them. And the deliverance was so wonderful and so clear that there was no doubt that it was the hand of Almighty God. It wasn't something that Moses could have produced himself. No, it was the hand of God. And so in the set time, the time the Lord has spoken of, it came to pass that Israel were wonderfully delivered. Israel were brought out of Egypt. And Israel eventually were brought safely into the promised land. But of course, there were many trials and many difficulties. There was much opposition from their hearts to the way the Lord was leading them. And yet, as we know, the Word of God tells us, he did lead them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. And as we think of that picture of Israel, all their journeys, all the difficulties, how they came out of Egypt, what a wonderful picture it is for us today, as we think perhaps of our souls, as we think of the condition that we perhaps are in. And they had to cry unto God. And my friends, you and I will have to cry unto God. And it would be a great blessing if we have cried unto God. As they cried, they might be delivered from Egypt. And perhaps as we may have cried, the Lord will deliver us from all our sinful condition. And bring us out of that place of bondage. Now, the Israelites were brought out in a very remarkable way, a very wonderful way, because it set before them in such a clear way that the Lord was that one who was preserving them, and the Lord was that one who brought all those miracles to pass upon the Egyptians. And of course, the last miracle was the death of the firstborn. And again, that was a glorious picture which the children of Israel were able to remember right down to the time of the gracious and glorious fulfillment of that picture in the person, the life and death and resurrection and ascension and intercession of the blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, what a mercy it is for us. Therefore, have the insight through the wonderful Word of God in the New Testament to set before us that which was set forth in the Old Testament dispensation, but really there was not that clarity. It was in types and it was in shadows. And of course the great type was the Lord Jesus Christ as a slain lamb on that wonderful Passover night. And that figure of that slain lamb really has not left the Church of God, because we still have the picture today. We still have the consideration today as the Lord Jesus Christ was described as the Lamb of God by John the Baptist, as he was described as the Lamb of God by the Apostle John in the Revelation. So we have there the continuing picture of this Lamb slain. And of course, the significance was that death occurred and also blood was shed. And so we see the necessity of death occurring and blood being shed. And the picture in that Passover shows to us the glorious scene of the Saviour dying upon that cross at Calvary, giving his life so that the Church of God could be set free, just like that Passover lamb, the shed blood placed upon the doorposts and the lintels, set forth the freedom from that death when the avenging angel passed over Egypt on that never-to-be-forgotten night. It was death to one, and it was life to the other. Well, tonight, may it be life to our souls. And as we read these words, the apostle says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee." It really sets before us the glorious scene of the Lord Jesus Christ as that one indeed who was accepted, that one who was heard, and that one who did bring this wonderful day of salvation. And so may we rejoice tonight if the Holy Spirit, and it is only the Holy Spirit, has caused us to realize that we have a need of salvation. And I believe if the Holy Spirit has shown to us that we have a need of salvation, that means that we have a need that our soul will be eternally saved, that our soul will be eternally safe, that we shall spend eternity in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. That will show to us our need, and it will cause us to cry to God. And often in those very simple words, those very beautiful words that the Lord Jesus showed to the disciples, and that parable of the publican and the sinner, and we read of that publican's prayer, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." It'll be a great blessing for all of us tonight if that has truly been our prayer. We truly come before our God, pleading for mercy, acknowledging we are a sinner, acknowledging we need, therefore, salvation. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Well, you see, God was merciful to Israel of old. He brought them out of natural bondage. It's a great blessing for us today if God comes and brings us out of spiritual bondage. And he brings us out of spiritual bondage when we, by the grace of God, see the wonderful light of the gospel, the wonderful light of salvation. Israel were brought to realize the light and the value of that shed blood. And of course, it wasn't something which just passed by. Every year, they had to remember the Passover. I know there were some times when it was forgotten, but that was no excuse. Every year, they were told to remember the Passover. They were told to remember the deliverance from Egypt. They were told to remember how it occurred, why it occurred. And so, it would be good for us today, in our little lives, if we have reason to remember in our spiritual life what we can describe so clearly put before us here, the day of salvation, the day of the saving us of our souls, and the day when we were delivered from the bondage of our sin, the day when we were led to the Lord Jesus Christ as that Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. These may be familiar things, but you know, to the born-again sinner, it's good news from a far country. It's that which rejoices our soul. It's that which we love to hear about. And indeed, we have examples in the Word of God how precious it was. We can think of that well-known character, Jonah. Well, God was merciful to Jonah. And Jonah didn't deserve to receive any mercy, did he? God had told him what to do. And he turned his back upon God. Well, perhaps God's told us what to do. And we turned our back upon God. Well, Jonah, as we know, thought that he'd escaped, got into a boat and paid them fare and was so comfortable, and he went to sleep in the hold. Nothing seemed to trouble his conscience. But the Lord knew Jonah was there. The Lord knew all about Jonah. And the Lord knew what he would do with Jonah. My friends, the Lord knows what he will do with all of his people. And what a blessing it is in our little lives if there's the evidence that God is dealing with us. Now, he dealt with Jonah in a very outstanding way. A way in which Jonah could never doubt. It was the hand of God upon him, and it was a deliverance of God upon him. You know, it's a great blessing when we have the evidence of God's hand being upon us to convince us of our position, perhaps convince us of our disobedience, convince us of our sinful position, and cause us to look to the Lord. That's what happened in the case of Jonah. As you may well remember, there was that great storm which arose, and eventually Jonah confessed the storm had arisen because of him. And he said the only solution was to throw him overboard into the sea. Of course, the sailors didn't want to do that, and they tried hard to avoid it. But eventually they couldn't. And therefore Jonah was thrown into the sea. But God had prepared a great fish, a whale, to swallow Jonah. God had prepared. And in our lives, God has prepared for us indeed the time, the day of salvation. And it would seem that in the case of Jonah, he was still really unmoved for some 3 days. And then we're told after 3 days, he said, I will look again unto thy holy temple. Once again, he returned to pray unto God. Did God turn away from him? Oh no. God heard his cries. The appointed time had come. The appointed time had come to deliver Jonah. And the result was, Jonah came to that position where he confessed, salvation is of the Lord. No other way. And I believe that's true in the lives of all his people, in one way or another. Not so dramatic, no doubt, as Jonah's case was. But nonetheless, the end is the same. We come to say, not of works, not of what I've done, not because of my abilities, but salvation is of the Lord. The saving of my soul, the deliverance of my soul, is the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. And oh, what a mercy it is when that comes. Oh, what a mercy that is when we come to that position and we can praise God. Praise God indeed, from whom all blessings flow. And having said that, the apostle says, in the day of salvation, have I succored thee? And then he says two statements, both beginning with the word behold. And that means that you and I should take notice of it. So take careful notice of it and not ignore it. And so he says, behold, now is the accepted time. And then, behold, now is the day of salvation. Firstly, the accepted time. We are still in time. There is still time for that deliverance. There's still time for the mercy of God to be known and to receive and to praise God for. An accepted time. Behold, now. It doesn't say tomorrow. It says now. The Lord has spoken in this very clear way, because the devil will tell us, you needn't bother about that. Don't listen to that such a word. You can ignore now, because God knows there'll be a time to come. And you can ignore this little word now. Well, I believe, you know, you and I ignore it at our peril, because we don't know how much longer you and I will live on this earth. We don't know how much longer the day of salvation will be before us. We don't know how much longer there will be for us to receive mercy, to receive deliverance. And so let us not pass over such a statement as this. Behold, we are to remember, we are to note, we are to observe, behold, now is the accepted time. And then as he goes on to say, behold again, now is the day of salvation. What a blessing for you and me. We're in a day of salvation. Once we are out of time, we are not in a day of salvation. The day of salvation will have passed us by, and passed us by forever. Oh, my friends, it's a very solemn consideration, isn't it? It's a very solemn realization to think of this. But now is the day of salvation. It's a blessed thing and a solemn thing. And my friends, may we not pass it by, but may we be concerned to know that our cry comes up unto our God. Jonah's cry came up to his God. Israel's cry came up to Almighty God. And my friends, down through the ages, the cry of God's people has come up to him in heaven, seeking for his mercy, seeking for his blessing. You know, in the Revelation, there's a very powerful statement in the 12th chapter and the 10th verse, and this is what we read. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, my friends, when God's voice comes to us, it may be a still small voice, but it will have a powerful effect like it did in the life of Jonah. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Now is come. And strength. And the kingdom of our God. And the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You see, the accuser of the brethren, the devil, may indeed accuse you and me and say, there's no hope. There's no point in repenting. There's no point in confessing your sin. There's no point in praying to God. But my friends, he'll tell you the day of salvation is past. But you can tell him from the word of God, but now is the day of salvation. And you see, he can't disprove that. He is a vanquished foe. He'll do all he can to turn us away from the great and glorious truths of the gospel. But oh, may we recognize the glory of such words for us today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And may we all know the blessing of it. The blessing of knowing that we are saved from all our sins, delivered from our sins, and it's only through the way of salvation, which is through that glorious sin atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a cost to save our souls. Rebellious men, rebellious women, rebellious children. And yet what a merciful God. What a gracious God. Oh, may we come tonight rejoicing in this great salvation. Because what does it do? It sets us free. It frees us from the condemnation of the law. And it sets us free into that glorious kingdom of our God. And we can then look forward with a gracious and blessed anticipation of that inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and which is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through grace unto salvation. Amen.